There's something on the screen there. What's
that? It's good. It's just telling you it's recording. It's fine.
Okay.
There you go. It's fine.
I don't know from the electronic gadgetry. Okay. All right. In John chapter 8, verse 10. Jesus looked up and said to her, the woman who was caught in adultery, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and do not sin again."
Speaking of electronic gadgetry, it's doing it again.
I don't know what's going on with my hearing aids. I have to
do something with them.
Go away. Thank you. Now stay away. All right. So, Jesus does not condemn the woman who was caught in adultery. But how could he just let this woman go without punishment? I mean, in verse 4, it clearly states that she was caught in the very act of adultery. And the law is clear that she deserves to die. But what exactly does the law say? And what exactly did Jesus say and Jesus do in this passage? So let's look at that. Again, in verse 4, it says she was caught in the very act of adultery. So the law says in Leviticus chapter 20, in verse 10, if a man commits adultery with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress shall be put to death. Both. So this begs the question, where's the guy? I mean, they brought the woman, but where's the guy? And in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 22, if a man is found lying with the wife of another man, both of them shall die. The man who lay with the woman and the woman, so you shall purge the evil from Israel. So maybe the man was a prominent citizen of the city and they didn't want to bring a scandal to the city by bringing him out there. Maybe he was a Pharisee. We don't want to challenge the religious right here, okay? Ooh, I haven't been a priest. Could have been. But we don't want to have a scandal, so we're not bringing the guy out here. We're just going to stone to death the woman because we know she must have enticed him to do something that he would never have done otherwise. We make exceptions, don't we? We, that was a plural, make exceptions, don't we? I mean, I had the funniest thing happen just yesterday. I was coming home from Christopher's house, and I got up here to where Swananoa River Road meets Biltmore, and I was going to turn left and go down by the river. And that's a long light. I mean, there are a lot of long lights in Asheville, but that's a long light. And I was behind a pickup truck. And he must have gotten really tired of waiting because there was no traffic coming down Biltmore. So he just turned left on a red. I mean, turn left on red after stop. That's a law, isn't it? I mean, you've never done anything like that, though, right? No. And I mean, you know, you're in a hurry, you're on the highway, the speed limit's 55. Well, but 65's okay. I mean, we make exceptions, don't we? Yeah. I mean, Father David and I were talking about some political issues before the service. You have never said anything negative about those who are in authority in the United States, have you? Never, never, never. Today? Well, I can't say that one. I lose on that one. Anyway, but you do realize that in the scriptures, it says, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. You shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. You say, oh, that's Old Testament. Well, except that Paul also said it in the New Testament. So, okay, chapter 23, verse 5, that. But yeah, it is interesting, though. Paul was talking about a religious ruler. And I just want to take this opportunity to remind you that the word rector, the title rector, means ruler. So just, I mean, that's just in passing, okay? I just submit that for your information, okay? Anyway, all right. But let's get back to the point. What does Jesus say? And what does Jesus do in this passage? The law says in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 7, that the hand of the witnesses, those who caught the woman in the very act of adultery, okay, the hand of the witnesses shall be the first against him to put him to death, or her, and afterward the hand of all the people. So you shall purge the evil from the midst of you. So the people who caught the woman in the act of adultery should be the ones who throw the first stone. But what does Jesus say? Let him who is without sin cast the first stone. There was this sudden spate of self-examination in the crowd at that moment. Well, now, if I pick up the stone, somebody's going to remember that thing that I did. And, yeah. And they went away, one by one, beginning with the eldest. See, what Jesus did at that moment, when he said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone, what Jesus did at that moment was he offered new life to both the woman and the crowd. For the woman, she was obviously offered pardon and was spared death by stoning. So, yes, she was offered new life. But for the crowd, they were offered the opportunity to examine their lives and to make a change in their lives based on the truth, based on the gospel, based on the very presence of the incarnate Lord in front of them. They were offered the opportunity for self-examination, repentance, and newness of life. That's awesome. Johann Goethe, the 18th, early 19th century German philosopher, said this, one need only grow old to become gentler in one's judgments. I see no fault committed which I could not have committed myself, he says. Is that not true? Jesus challenged all of his hearers from the very beginning of his ministry. In the Sermon on the Mount, in the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 5 and verse 28, Jesus says this, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Oh, you've never done that, have you? Guys, and that can be switched around. Ladies, you've never lusted, have you? And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, Jesus continues in his Sermon on the Mount saying, judge not that you be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be the measure you get. Ooh, ouch. But we are, all of us, too ready to judge. And so St. Paul rebukes us all with these words in Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore you have no excuse, O man, whoever you are, when you judge another. For in passing judgment upon him, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, are doing the very same things. Wow. But Jesus offers us new life. And this is a promise, just as we prayed in the collect. This is a promise to all who are in Christ Jesus. In Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If we are in Christ, we have the righteousness of Christ, and there is no condemnation for those who are in him. And we all know John 3:16, right? Okay, let's do it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and the end that all that believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What's 3:17?
For God did not come into the world to condemn the world.
That's it. For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He didn't come to condemn us. He came to give us new life. He came to give us new hope. He came to give us the fullness of the promise of the Father. And Jesus offered us new life. He offered new life for that woman. He offered new life for all who came to condemn her. And he challenged all of us and all of them to examine their lives and to make a new start in him. We are that woman, the ones who are not without sin, those who are deserving of death. Just as St. Paul said, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have all done that. But we are that woman. We are deserving of death, and yet Jesus says to each one of us, neither do I condemn you. We are the crowd. We're challenged to examine our lives before we cast stones. And Jesus offers us all new life in him. You know, we're getting toward the end of Lent here. Next week is Holy Week. This is a perfect time for some serious self-examination. And as we approach Holy Week, we are challenged by the very events that happen. Next Sunday, Palm Sunday, we're all going to be crying out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna! Hosanna means save us. We're all crying out in joy. Save us, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And just 5 days after that, this same group of people is going to cry out, crucify him. Crucify. The day is coming when each of us must stand as that woman stood in the story today. Before Jesus, just the two of us, me and Jesus, just the two of us, we're going to stand alone together with him. And God forbid that he would judge me as I have judged others. We need to accept our Lord's invitation to self-examination. Let the Holy Spirit reveal to us the places where we fall short. Allow him to give us the mind of Christ and discerning spirits that we may walk with him and not in the ways of the world. The philosopher Socrates said, "The unexamined life is not worth living." So let us examine our lives. And with the woman, hear these comforting words coming from our Lord. Has no one condemned you? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Amen.
But what did you write in the dirt?
Your name.